Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this evening or afternoon on the stateside, we're joined by Tony Rodriguez, who is a Tony Robbins trainer based in New Jersey, USA. And we're going to have a chat about basically, you know, personal development, business development, the past, the future, and anything else we can cram into this fantastic episode. So how are you doing today, Tony? You okay?
Listen, I'm doing great, my friend. How are you?
I'm awesome. I was awesome before I found Clubhouse, and now I found Clubhouse. It's just every minute of every day is just pure awesomeness. So, you know,
it's been amazing. You know, this is how we met, Michael and Mike, and it's been absolutely an enlightening experience. You know, I was invited into Clubhouse probably a month and a half, right in the beginning, probably sometime early December, and I just ignored it and I didn't jump on it. And I only got in about 8 days ago, maybe 9 days ago. I'm not sure at what day, but it was about 9 days ago. And even then, I didn't get in until 7 days ago because I signed up, but you know, life being what it is, I didn't log on. But when I logged on, my mind was blown. I am spending a lot of time on there and I have zero regrets. I'd like to say, I've been saying that, you know, sometimes, you know, how you vortex of Facebook, of Twitter, of Instagram, of gaming, of internet research and search and this and that, and just the nonsense of it all. And then afterwards you feel a bit guilty of having spent the time. And in this case, I have zero guilt on any second that I've spent so far, because the amount of people, the quality of connections, the level of learning, the enormity of the genius and the business acumen and the intelligence and the energy that have been in these rooms, especially the smaller rooms, have been absolutely astounding because of the what is being shared. What is being received. You even get the energetic transference, because it's not just a static video. It's not just, you don't have video, so you don't have everybody dolling themselves up. And obviously everybody's got their photo on there, but it's different. It's a little bit more raw and real. And you can always tell the bullshit from the real shit, right? Because when you're speaking, you can tell when someone is creating as they go. And right now I'm speaking a little slower, so I am choosing my words because I am on the podcast, but I am a from the heart kind of speaker. And you can tell when somebody isn't speaking from the heart. So you can tell when there's that level of energy. So I've just been so engaged. I've had the pleasure of being on so many stages with so many amazing people, sharing so many amazing, inspiring stories. And of course, I'm there to drop whatever knowledge I have and share a bit of my story. And if my story can inspire anyone, then that's what I'm here for. And I'm constantly, you know, asking people and reminding people and to share their story, because your story may be your story, but it's not yours to keep. Your story is yours to share, because by sharing your story, not only do you free yourself from where you are, just 1 second. Sorry about that. You'll have to edit that out. Yeah. My son is very loud and a couple of rooms away.
Yeah, the life we live at the moment, and doing Zooms on podcasts or on the news or at home, you know, it's part of life. Interaction, pets joining the queue, kids jumping in shot, noise coming from the background. I don't edit none of that out, because that is the pandemic. That is COVID. It's authentic. It's what happened. Why do we need to airbrush it out?
It's real.
Real. Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So back to what I was saying.
Yeah.
Go on. Yeah, let me just finish that one thought.
Yeah.
So yeah, sorry, the lag has got us a little interfered. So what I say is that your story is not yours to keep, it's yours to share, because just by you sharing your story, there's a level of freedom and a level of healing that begins once you let light into the darkness. Because so many people I've spoken to share their story with me. They've, they, you know, I, I create a safe space and they share their story with me. And it's the first time that any light has entered that dark place in years. And just the sheer fact of vocalizing and sharing your story lets light in and starts the healing process. And then by sharing your story, you give other people permission to do the same, to share their story, to start the healing on their end. And it helps free them from the prison that they've created with these stories and these things that have happened in their past. And what I like to say is, you know, by, you know, when you share your story of the journey, of the struggle as you climb the mountain, of your journey up the mountain, your story, as you share it, as you write it, can, and in many cases will be someone else's survival guide. Because at any time in life, whatever it is that you've been through, from the most traumatic to the most dramatic, somebody else right now is going through it. Somebody else has already gone through it, and someone is about to go through it. Doesn't matter what it is. So by all means, share your story, and that can change the world. Because if your story changes one life may be all you need to have the next prime minister, the next president, the next, you know, person that changes the world and makes the biggest impact and that creates the biggest ripple, that becomes a wave, that becomes a tidal wave, that becomes a tsunami, that just, you know, a tsunami of change, which is what we are doing by creating and sharing our stories and sharing the knowledge that we have with other people. So with that said, this seems like it's almost like a plug for Clubhouse, but by God, if you're not on Clubhouse, get on, because right now is the most exciting time to be there because of the level of people that are on there sharing what they're sharing. And honestly, it's to a large extent, it's not really sustainable for so many. You know, for me, for example, yesterday we were in a room together that a friend of mine started at 7 a.m. I was on another show with Success Magazine from 7 to 8. I jumped in at 8:30, and at 9:30, he said, hey, you mind taking this over for another 30 minutes? And it went 17 hours.
Yeah, and that was Anil Gupta. And that was Anil Gupta. And Anil's been on my podcast already. So my audience and my listeners may have seen that. And that brings me on to what I was going to say about that room. That room was like, I think, one of the best experiences of my life, right? It was just, you know, story after story after story, blockage removed and overcoming, you know, such deep-rooted, you know, problems and fears and blocks and whatever, right? And it was just, it was amazing. And I'll get you to tell a little bit more about it because you're more eloquent than I am and you've been doing this for longer, right? But I actually, I was on there for a long, long time. I started at 8 o'clock in the morning and finished at 4 o'clock in the morning the next day. So I did like a 20-hour stint. And I was so pumped up. I did an hour of social media marketing to try and unwind, right? But I was so pumped, full of energy, because I love helping people and I love listening to other people being helped as well. I couldn't sleep. I was just on the ceiling. So I had to download a YouTube video of meditation to get myself off to sleep, right? So that's how impactful this thing was. And it was about success and the mindset of success. So, you know, tell us a little bit about how you've seen it.
Yeah, it's so powerful. I mean, I guess I should probably share a little bit about who I am, right? Because we just got right into it. So, you know, my name is Tony Rodriguez. I live in New Jersey by way of Portugal. I was born in Portugal when I was 6 years old. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story of those. Will be here for another 17 hours. But I'll just tell you a little bit about me so you get a little baseline. So I moved to the United States just when I was 6 years old. Didn't have a happy go of it. It was not an easy life between not knowing the language, of course, picked that up fast enough. But always being the outsider because, you know, you're the immigrant kid who doesn't speak English. Or then when I learned that it wasn't really great. My home life wasn't very good because my father was a very violent man. So there was a lot of physical and mental abuse growing up. And I was always told how I would never amount to anything. And so life was tough. And when I was 16, I not only had thoughts of suicide, but I had the razor blade to my wrist on more than one occasion. And the last time that came very close, you know, I just said, I can't do it because who's going to tell my mom I'm dead? You know, and in God's infinite sense of humor, on my 18th birthday, 12:30 in the afternoon, I was in a car with my cousin going to a movie because it was a day off from school. And we had a massive car accident where We were hit by a car and the car spun and flipped. And by the time we came to a stop, it was against three work vans doing work on the side of the road. And, you know, I tend to cuss at times, right? To curse. And I don't know. Could we do that on your show? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not bothered. It's an authentic, real, raw thing. So we can do whatever you want to do.
So, you know, I happened, and just as a little sidebar, you know, I think the word fuck is about the most versatile word in the English language. Right, and shit. Those two words.
If it's in between any word, and if it's in between all words, if it's in the middle of small words.
Right. So, but I like this. People say, man, you say that word a lot. And I try not to. And I say, well, but you know what? The word fuck saved my life. They're like, what? Well, because just as we were about to make impact and I wasn't wearing a seatbelt, I turned to my cousin all the way and I screamed out, fuck. And I was ejected from the car. And my hips kept me in, but my head went through the car. It was a sports car. My head went through the windshield and back in, causing me to lose a chunk of my forehead, an eyebrow, and have severe lacerations on my face and neck. A lot of pain ensued because, you know, head, shoulders, knees, and toes, everything was out of whack. Everything was banged up pretty bad. And I came to in the hospital, or I woke up in the hospital, looked down at my body, and said, fuck. Who's going to tell my mom I'm dead? It's very peaceful, actually. It was really peaceful. So to me, I'm living in a new life because then I had the black tunnel, white light, and explosion of pain. And as I'm going through the black tunnel, there wasn't much to see because I hadn't really lived a life. I was a really shy kid, believe it or not, Michael. Now that you know me, I was a really shy kid. Didn't have many friends, never had a girlfriend. I would have died without having lived. I would have died a virgin. I would have died without having experienced life because my father was a very tough man. And I've been working since I was 11 years old or 12 years old, despite labor laws and whatever. That didn't count. I'm Portuguese. That doesn't apply. So I've been working since I was a kid. And, you know, I would have died without having lived. So my first mindset shift, my first epiphany was shortly after that accident. I decided that being shy didn't work for me. I decided that I didn't want to live the life I was living. I decided that if I was going to die tomorrow, I would live today. And this, I'm still in high school, right? I had 2 months of high school left. So about the summertime, you know, this is when I started thinking, you know, I never signed up for college. Because I was always told I was too stupid and I wouldn't amount to anything and I would only be a doormat for people throughout my life, which was really empowering. I mean, just the kind of thing you want your father to tell you. It was wonderful. But you know what? The one thing I say all the time is that life doesn't give you what you want. And I might not have had the father I wanted. I might not have had the father I deserved, but I guess I had the father I needed to become the man I am today. Right? So fast forward, didn't start college and decided to get into real estate. My father bet me. He says, bullshit, you're not doing that. I said, I don't care. I'm going. He says, no, you're going to come to work with me, which would normally not be. I mean, my father was a laborer, but, you know, he was a laborer for somebody else. Right. So it's not like he was had this career that I was going to go into this illustrious career. Nothing wrong with being a laborer at all. Mm-hmm. But I had just had a massive car accident a few months before that left me very injured. So I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm already kind of busted up. I'm going to go into hard labor. And don't get me wrong. I do hard labor all the damn time. I just never took that on as a career. No. But my father bet me $1,000 that I would fail. He said, if you don't sell something in 3 months, you're going to come to work with me. And if you do, I'll give you $1,000. Well, 2 days before the 90 days came up, I closed down this little barbecue restaurant on South Street in Newark, New Jersey. I've now forgotten the number. I used to remember the actual address of the street. And my commission was $737. I went to the bank like an 18-year-old would. I cashed a check. I got a bunch of singles and fives and 20s and a couple of 50s. And I wrapped them all up with rubber bands, or rather money bands. And I got, and he was having dinner and it practically went into his plate, which I would have gotten my ass kicked for anyway. But I just dumped the money on the table and I said, no, give me my money. And that was the first time I really stood up for a mile. I was going to say it was the first time, actually. It was a couple of weeks prior to that, that he went to smack me, went to hit me in the face. And I had plastic surgery and dermabrasion, all this stuff. My face was still healing. He went to hit me. And I put my hand up and I just punched him in the wrist. And I said, you're never going to lay your hands on me again. And that kind of changed the trajectory of my life. And then the next time that I really stood up for myself, that was the first time. The next time was a few months later when I did that, and I said, I'll give you my money. And that's kind of how it started. And I took that. And now if somebody tells me no, I said, go ahead, tell me no. And I'm going to fucking show you. Throw me to the wolves. I'm come back leading the fucking pack. You know, and that was the beginning of my journey. And I, from that point on, I decided that I'm going to win and I'm going to beat him and I'm going to make more money than he ever did. And I did, fortunately, within a year or two, you know, I was doing that, you know, but that things were never enough. Of course, then they moved back to Portugal. We stayed here. I bought my first house at 23, which he said, oh, big deal. You bought a house with the bank's money, like anybody does anything other than that these days anyway, right? Just a foolish way of thinking. And that also had a lot to do with my relationship with money that I had to fix. And that's a whole nother story that we're not going to get into, but nonetheless. And then of course I find out that he's bragging to everybody about my success, except he never told me for 10 or 15 years, but he was bragging to everybody about my success. So anyway, I've forgiven my father. I now have a very good relationship with him because forgiveness is everything. And again, we'll touch on that, but I don't know how much we can get into in 45 minutes or an hour. But you know, be happy to have that other conversation at another time, another thing, another place, because there's just way too much in my head for me to be able to share in an hour. So
now you're a clubhouse forward. Friend of mine. You can come on whenever you want to. If you've got something you want to share, just hook me up.
No, I hear you, brother. I hear you. So anyway, I'll just fast forward that. I lived with a lot of pain for a long time, but you know, I decided to live before I died. So I used to be afraid of deep water because I almost drowned twice as a kid. I started scuba diving. I was afraid of heights. I started skydiving. If it went fast, I strapped my ass to it. I never really did drugs, but my drug of choice was adrenaline. And I fucking lived because I never felt more alive than when I was on the edge. Right. And I did that for a very long time, skydiving, just doing all kinds of crazy knucklehead shit, because if I die tomorrow, I'm going to live today. I'm going to experience life. I'm going to taste life. I am not going to the grave not having experienced life. So I'm happy to say, have I done everything that I've wanted to do? No. Have I done more than many? Yes. Have I not done as much in the last 16 years since my son was born? Yes. On the terms of the adrenaline type stuff where I'm putting my life on the line. Haven't done that much of that because again, I've got different responsibilities now with two children and a wife and things of that nature, but I still love the adventure. I still love doing things that scare the shit out of me and make me feel alive because that's when I really feel alive. So, but fast forward, I'm having some success. I opened up my first real estate company at 25, you know, probably among, we're 24 or something like that, probably among one of the youngest at the time. And I saw some success, but I always say, man, I'd give up everything to not have this pain, the shit that I deal with in my life from that accident. I'd give up anything until one day I met Tony Robbins and I went to an event and it changed my life. And the number one thing, well, there's so many things I can talk about that for hours. But the thing that really impacted me right straight away is, you know, the line that, there's two in particular, but the first one was that life is not happening to you. Life is happening for you. And I've got the chills right now as I say that, because that was the first time I realized, because I always thought that that accident that affected my memory, that affected so much of my life and my physical body, I thought that that accident, I cursed myself, I cursed God at times, and, you know, wondering why me. Right? Because I have that victim mentality. And then I realized that that accident didn't knock me off course. That accident knocked me onto the course that I had to be. My life was going the wrong way. I may have been a statistic. That accident knocked me on the course, the exact course that I needed to be. So now, despite the pain, despite the shit that I had to go through because of it, I'm grateful for that accident, because that accident may very well have saved my life. It took my life, but it saved my life. So on Instagram right now, my name is Tony Rodriguez 2.0, because I am at least on the second life that I'm living. Never mind, you know, if you look at and take out the dot, I'm probably Tony Rodriguez 20 because of the iterations that I've had in my life. I've had to reinvent and recreate, and you know, we're never the same person. You know, if I'm the same person, next year we come across each other, and hopefully we'll come across each other many times before that. But if you see me next year or in 5 years and I'm still the same person that I am today, then shame on me. That means that I didn't grow. And I'm all about growth and contribution and becoming the best version of myself so I can show up as the man I need to be, because I'm here. I got a second chance at life. So my life is now, a big part of my life is dedicated to helping people live a better life. The name of my movement is Get Up and Grow, because I'm here to help people get up and grow through life, get up and grow through what they go through, because everybody falls and everybody gets up. But most people just get up and go. They do not get up and grow. And life, as we know, is the toughest teacher of all, because it gives us the test first, the lesson afterwards. And we're destined to repeat the class. We're destined to repeat the lesson until we pass the test. And the way we pass the test is to find the gift in that lesson. First, it is to learn the lesson so you don't make the same mistake. But the magic is in finding the gift in the lesson. What did it really mean? What did you have to see? What did you have to learn? Because so many times we're getting the message, but we're not listening. We're getting the message, but we're not ready to accept it. It's almost like that parable of the brick, of the feather, the brick, and the truck. Have you ever heard that one?
I haven't heard of that one, no.
So, you know, sometimes in life, we're going through life and we get hit by a feather. And we're like, where the hell did that feather come from? There's no birds around. And you keep going, there's another feather. A couple of days later, there's another feather. And all these damn feathers. You're like, what the heck's with the feathers? And you just keep going through life. And then all of a sudden, you're walking, boom, you get hit by a brick. Like, what the hell's with the brick? You don't see where the hell it's coming from? But you're like, whatever. You keep walking a couple of days, and you get hit by a brick again. You're like, what the fuck was that? What's with the brick? But you keep going. You get hit with the brick again. You're like, what the hell's going on in my life? I'm freaking feathers, now bricks. And you just keep on going. One day you get, boom, you get hit by a truck. And it's when you get hit by a truck that you actually wake up and realize and get the goddamn message that God, the universe, sorry, I shouldn't have said that in the same sentence. You get the message that God was trying to give you all along. But first, he was trying to tickle you with a feather so you paid attention, but you didn't. And then you hit you with a brick, but yet you didn't. And sometimes you have to get hit by a truck to wake up and realize the damage that you're doing to yourself. You know, you're drinking yourself to death. You're doing drugs. You're doing things that are hurting you, that are hurting humanity, that are hurting others around you. And sometimes you need to get hit by a truck to wake up. Well, not that I needed that, because I don't know that there was a feather. I don't know that there was a brick. There very well must have been, that I just didn't recognize. But I was living in such a controlled atmosphere of fear and that I never saw. Well, I got hit by a truck. But unfortunately, I got hit by a truck again later on in life. And it was a metaphorical truck. It came in the form of a business separation that cost me millions. It cost me north of $1 million in legal fees. It cost me millions of dollars in monies that were taken from me. Never mind the opportunity costs that were several million more. But that was another moment of awakening. That was another moment of awakening. So went through the Tony Robbins program. And for the last 10 years, I've been in the leadership program, and for the last couple of years of that, I've been a trainer, and I am a trainer with Tony Robbins, which means that Tony Robbins and the team trains us to be and do what Tony Robbins does. So if you've been to a Tony Robbins event or watched I Am Not Your Guru, which if you look really close, I'm walking around, I'm lurking around in the back wearing an orange shirt. Throughout, because I was there for that weekend. Amazing, amazing event, amazing documentary. It's on Netflix. Anybody can just jump on and watch it for free. It's called I Am Not Your Guru with Tony Robbins. So we're trained to do what he does, because Tony Robbins can't get to everyone. So that's what we do. We're there to help people go through traumas and interventions, that sort of thing. So that certainly helped save my life and recreate who I am multiple times. And that's why I still go back and contribute my time. And I travel around the world with him to different countries, different places, different states to help thousands of people go through the events every year. So I'm proud. I was a proud moment of my life. And that's something that I'm very proud of that I was able to accomplish. And really not about the accomplishment, but the impact that I have the opportunity to make when people share their stories with me and I help them through trauma. So
I got some questions for you about that.
All that to say,
I've got two questions for you about Tony Robbins, right? But before we do that, are we far away from the story now? Because I do want to get back to the clubhouse bit at some point. But so is
no,
there
we're
the story.
Yeah, no, we're pretty much Yeah, no, we're pretty much there. Just suffice it to say that, you know, the real estate industry took me for the last 30 years. I've owned many, many different businesses because I acquired the real estate. So I've had everything from construction companies, bought and flipped homes, new ground up construction, bar, restaurant, nightclub, equestrian center, all kinds of crazy stuff because I bought the real estate and had my own commercial residential portfolio. That kind of unraveled with this partnership separation that, anyway, so that's kind of where it's at. So I've been through the ringer several times. You know, there's a lot of people that are coaches. I don't call myself a coach. I call myself a strategist because I didn't just take the course. I didn't just read the book. I've lived the life. And that's what makes me who I am. And that's what I'm here to share a bit of myself with the world and help as many people as I can along the way.
Yeah, awesome, boom. Awesome. And
mic drop, that's it.
Yeah, boom. but you're going to keep mic dropping, so don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. We're on a mission. This podcast episode is going to blow up. The crowd, what's it called now? Clubhouse, right? Clubhouse. For me, it's like a perfect cube, right? Because I love to network. I love to learn. I love to listen. Okay, and I love to help, right? So it's like an addiction at the moment, right? I am addicted to it, right? I'm doing 20-hour days and all sorts of things at the moment because my mission is big, similar to yourself. You know, you want to help as many people as possible on the planet. It's the same mission I have, really. You know, And so Clubhouse is perfect. And we were in this room. I've been in amazing rooms, big ones, little ones. Like you're saying, some of the little ones are just, you know, off the cuff and magic, like, you know. But there was this mindset one set up by Anil Gupta, and his brother was in it, and Don popped in and out, former president of Jim Rohn's business, and lots of people. It was just immense. But the real magic was the people coming up. And you know, needing help and the sort of solutions that were being given and the tag teaming of the different moderators and all of that. Tell us a little bit about the event from your perspective, and how you felt about it and what value, you know, you were giving and all of that. Just drop a bit of that into the episode.
Listen, it was just magical. I actually felt like I was at a Tony Robbins event on steroids because, you know, that's what I do at events. I help people through challenges and have different conversations. But in this case, I got to have conversations and listen to literally hundreds of stories throughout the course of 17 hours. I don't know, hundreds. I don't know that it was hundreds, but certainly there were hundreds and hundreds of people that came through the room during the course of those 17 hours. But the magic of being able to, even on this platform, this is the first time I've done, you know, I do strategy sessions, very rarely am I on the phone. It's always on the Zoom or on a live call of some sort where I can see and see the person and see their expressions and go through all that. In this case, you're just using a picture and their voice and the inflection and trying to pick up the cues and everything else in their language patterns to be able to identify maybe some things that you need to dig deeper into. But the scope of and the variety of people that were in the room, from the beginner and novice to the expert and the millionaire, the guy that exited that nine-figure company, the guy that owns 140 companies and is changing the world, the guy that, you know, owns, you know, 62 Subway restaurants and 327 Taco Bells, and is gives most of his wealth away and feeds 10,000 children a day to, just the apps, the stories that are coming out, the connections that are being made are absolutely astounding. And the impact that we're making. And again, like you said, the tag team, Anil would come in and say, I'm happy to say that I was there and Anil had to leave and he came back like 10 hours later. He's like, Tony, you're still here. I'm like, yeah.
Well, the mad thing was I'd been on a 20-hour mission, right? And actually, I got more involved. I was involved in little bits here and there throughout the night, but I did most of my involvement between 3 and 4 in the morning. And when I'm like, I'm on my bed. Oh. And that's when I really started helping some people as well. It was just amazing. Like, you know, it was
because that's sometimes, you know, the beauty of that, by the way, And I'll give you a little secret to that. The beauty of that is when you're more tired, your ego and your shields come down and you get more out of your head and into your heart. Because where a lot of people get jammed up in coaching and even in therapy and everything else, is that They're listening to respond, not to understand. They're interested in getting to the outcome and to the solution, as am I, except that is not my primary focus. Because a lot of people come to you and say this is what they want, but you know, more than what they want, you got to make sure that they get what they need. Because you can give them, people have a question, you can give them a 3-word answer, but that and 2 pounds would probably not get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
Most people don't know what they want. So most people don't know what they want, so you got to draw it out of them.
Well, some people know what they want, but a lot of them don't know what they need, more importantly. So the idea is to speak from your heart, to listen intently, to listen at a greater depth. To, you know, a friend of mine calls it 5D listening through a program that's called Unblinded. And if anybody's interested in knowing more about that, by all means, reach out to me or reach out to Mike and he'll get in touch with me. And Mike, I haven't even talked to you about this, but it really is about mastering the power of influence. But anyway, back to what we're talking about with the strategy sessions or the micro or the speed coaching or micro coaching, whatever you want to call it. It's about really listening intently and then responding from your heart and not just be thinking, I'm going to fix him, I'm going to fix this, because then you're in your head and your ego, that's your ego working. And it's not about you. The minute you say, oh man, you get nervous about what you're going to say, it's because that's your ego working, saying, I don't want to be wrong. Well, is it about you not being wrong, or is it about to help somebody get the outcome that they want? Is it about how you're going to look? Well, if I say this is going to be foolish, or is it about getting the outcome that the person really needs? Is it about changing their life? Is it about changing your life? Or is it about saying, oh, if I say this, what are people going to think? No, it's about changing lives. And sometimes the life you save is your own, mm-hmm. right? I've had sessions with people that after I'm done, you know, there was one in particular, and I don't know that I want to go into another story right now, but let's just say that, you know, the name of my movement, Get Up and Grow, didn't find me. I didn't find it. It found me. Mm-hmm. By when I was going through a strategy session with someone, with a friend that wasn't even it was just somebody that was going through some trouble, and he called me up. And I, you know what, I'm going to have to say it now because I've started, and this is not going to make any sense if I don't share the story. So, and I haven't shared this story yet on Clubhouse, and at some point I'm going to, because it's powerful. Actually, it's really, you tell me, but I think it's a really powerful story. So a friend calls me as I'm going through my own battle, my own legal battle. Friend calls me and says, you know, 10:30 at night. And he never calls me at 10:30 at night. He usually calls me in the morning. And just to add color to this, I had just come from a holiday party and I wasn't drunk, but you know, I was kind of feeling no pain. I was in that zone, right? And I come home and it's a cold day and yeah, tipsy. Yeah, it was exactly right. We're a little tipsy. And I come home and it's getting late. So I go into the garage to speak because my kids, it's 10:30 at night. We just got home from this party. Yes, my wife drove. She didn't drink, in case anybody's concerned. And the kids are getting ready to go upstairs. And I go and I'm talking to him in the garage and I'm pacing in the garage. He calls me and says, Tony, and he starts going into his story, blah, blah, blah. And he said, this and that. And I'm saying blah, 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 not out of disrespect. I just not going to say what we're talking about. And he's going into a story. I said, listen, stop. Just stop. Are you telling me your story or are you just repeating mine? He says, I know. That's why I'm calling. How the fuck do you stay so positive? I'm watching your videos and you're always so positive and you're going through all this shit. How do you do it? I don't know. I can't get out of my own way. And I told him, I said, listen, man, it's about intention. You've got to be intentional. You've got to decide that you want to be happy. Happiness is an inside job. You've got to focus on what the hell it is you want, not what you don't. And you got to force yourself to smile on the days that you don't feel like smiling. You got to step up when you don't feel like going out for that walk. That's when you need to go for the walk. When you don't feel like doing the things that you must do, that's when you have to do them, because that's what's going to change your life. And then when it says, and you know what happened to me 2 years ago? This was about 2 years, 2.5 years into my situation. So you know what happened? I was comfortable and life was okay. I was making enough money to be happy. Then all of a sudden, boom, I get hit by a truck and I get completely blindsided and I don't know which way is up. And this person that was my best friend, the best man at my wedding, the godfather of my children, told me that he's gonna, you know, that he's smashing the partnership up. It was a relationship, extramarital affair, whatever, and that I was trying to kind of cover. Unfortunately, I was trying to do the right thing, I thought, by him, which was the wrong thing, by covering up and being that guy. And he blew up. He blew up the partnership. Blew up the friendship because of the girlfriend, and just rocked my world and said how he's going to come after me. And he had these notions that I betrayed him, which is bullshit. I mean, what you already know of me, Mike, is who I am. I'm not two people. The only time you see a different person is if you come after me and my family, then you'll see a completely different person. Outside of that, this is who I am. And I think by now you already know my heart. We spent 17 hours together yesterday, just about. So kind of rocked my world. I said, so I got hit by a truck, boom. But I refuse to believe that that was happening, because I'm the guy that fixes relationships. I'm the guy that helps people. And we had a significant holdings. He was partners of mine. Aside from my house, he was my partner in everything. 25 years we spent creating this little mini empire that we had. And here it is, in danger of all of it. And he smashes it. And this is going on. But I believe now I'll be able to work this out. Because, I mean, we've known each other. I love this guy like he's my brother. There's no way I can fix this. But I wasn't just in pain. And that moment when that bus hit me, felt like I got hit by the bus, I said, and that's when God said, grow. And I said, no. And there was pain. Boom, I got more pain. God said, grow. And I said, no. And then there was more pain and more pain over the weeks and months. And God said, grow. And I said, no. And there was just more pain and more pain. And every day that went by, there was more pain. And I'm thinking to myself, I can fix this. In the meantime, he was deepening his plot against me, convincing me to sign things and do things because leading me to believe that everything was going to be okay, you know. And boom, every time something bad would happen, God said, no, grow. And I said, no. And I was, because I was saying no, because I was refusing to believe what was happening. I was looking at things better than they were, not as they were. And that's something that we're all guilty of. Some people look at things worse than they are. And other people look at things better than they are. And I was looking at things better than they were. And I'm like, and I was just in denial. And in the meantime, he just dug my hole so goddamn deep. Until one day I happened to be in Brazil. I went there for a wedding and I said, what am I doing? Enough. And when I accepted what was happening, the pain went away. I grew that day. But while this is all happening, I'm going through, God said, grow. And I said, no. My son opens the door to the garage, says, good night, Dad. I said, all right, good night. Don't forget to brush your teeth, whatever. I get back on the phone. He's like, bro, keep going. Keep reading. I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? I don't even know. What was I saying? I completely lost my thought of what I was saying because the words weren't mine to give. And he started telling me how, oh, God said grow. And I said, no. And I picked up that string out of the ether again. And I kept going. I said, and God said grow. And I said, no. And finally the pain went away and I grew and the pain went away. But about a month later, he filed a frivolous lawsuit and boom, I get hit by that truck again. And God said, grow. And I said, no. And God said, grow. And I said, no. And I went on countless times saying this. And then as we wrap up and, you know, and he says, thank you so much, man. You don't know how much that's helped me. I realize now that I've got to grow. I've got to grow through what I'm going through. Right? Yeah. Story doesn't end there because, you know, the next day I called him. I said, dude, what the hell happened last night? Can you tell me? Can you go through it? And he kind of went through it. And that's how I know the story as well as I know it today. But more impressively, about 2.5 to 3 months later, I was sharing the story with someone. And that's when it hit me. I'm like, oh, my God. Even though the words came out of my mouth, and I didn't realize at the time, that story was meant for me. Because until that day, 2 months or 3 months later, I didn't realize that the reason, imagine this, I'm the one speaking the words, but I wasn't listening. Because only 2 to 3 months later did I realize, oh my God, the pain was, it was God saying grow. And my refusal to grow is what kept me in pain. And it was an epiphany to me. And I realized, oh my God, all I have to do is grow. All I have to do is accept in order to let go. Because my friend and my friends, everyone who's listening, we tend to cling on to things for dear life that we're meant to let go of. And it is so much harder. There's so much more pain in hanging on to our mistakes of the past than it is to let go. And we refuse to let go of these mistakes of the past because we spent so long making them that we want to just hang on to them. But it's hurting us. We've all seen the graphic, I think, many people have seen the graphic of that one hand holding a rope and there's blood on the hand. And as it lets go, there's still blood on the hand. And once he lets go, the hand starts to heal, because we tend to hang on to things because we don't want to let go. But the reality of it is sometimes, not sometimes, all the times, you must let go of the shit in your past in order to grab the future with both hands. You cannot grab hold of your future if you're still holding on to the past. You cannot put anything more in your bag if your bag is already full of shit, if it's already full of the boulders, the mistakes, the pain of the past. You cannot put any new experiences in. You cannot put anything new in that new bag. And then you wonder why, but all these great things happen I felt great today and yesterday, but now I feel like shit again. Well, that's because it didn't fit in your bag. And you put it on top of the bag and it just fell out. All the shit that's in it is keeping you sad. And we need to let go of the shit in order to grow. So my friend, that's where the name Get Up and Grow came from, because I realized that I was getting up and going, but I wasn't getting up and growing. I needed to learn and grow through the pain. And when I accepted, I grew. So if you're going through a trouble in your life right now, and you know, just look at things as they are, not worse than they are. Accept things and in particular, if you've already gone through some shit, let that shit go. You've got to grow through what you go through in order to get to where you want to go. Otherwise, you're going to keep reliving that day. You know, I've got friends that, you know, I say, hey, brother, how you doing? He's like, same shit, different day. That's a very common theme here, at least in the Northeast and in the States. I don't know if it's the same in the UK or not. Yeah. But my new answer is, I'm sorry, can I help? And it always makes people like, what? What do you mean? I said, well, I mean, let me give you at least some new shit. So it's just different shit. Right? New, at least it's different shit. So you have a different experience. And that's, you know, when people say that, it's sad. Now it's more of a knee-jerk reaction at times than it is they're really going through something difficult. But that's rooted somewhere. And we're all going to keep going through that shit different day until we grow through what we go through. So that's where Get Up and Grow came from. That is my mission, is to help people grow through what they go through, because I've figured out ways and patterns and ways of thinking and mindset shifts and hacks that have allowed me to grow through what I went through. And now I want to help other people do the same. So yeah, awesome. Long way to get to explain that to you, but I think it was probably important.
It was impactful and it was definitely worth it. But I want to cover, so something come out of me as well. So just like that found you, your mission, if you like, mine found me at the start of COVID as well. So my mission was, basically I listened to Jarek Robbins, right? So there's a connection there, right? And he used to chat about happiness, you know, about how to make yourself happy, right? And I was living happiness, right? Because I've always done most things that make you happy, right? But I never did all of the things that can make you happy, because I was busy working and I let, you know, fitness go, a bit of exercise. And, you know, I never found mindfulness and meditation and things like that, right? But at the start of the lockdown, I was like, there's never a better time to get fit. I used to be a sporty kid, fastest boy in school, won the league and cup double in rugby, and had a winner's mentality from an early age, good academics, good at sport, good all-rounder, and I was used to success and winning, right? And then I've been, you know, working long hours and all the rest of it, and sacrificing a bit of fitness and exercise because I couldn't do everything. And then all of a sudden the pandemic hits, and it's like, wow, I actually got chewed up and spat out a little bit in the global credit crunch, which actually led to my divorce, right? I thought this pandemic is going to cause a lot of pain and heartache for a lot of other people. And now it's time to stand up, and it's time to own who you are, which is the awesome Mike Armstrong, the awesomeness within you, right? So I was like, so I've got plenty more time and hours in the day than you've ever had before, because you're in lockdown, nothing else to do. And also, there's a killer virus out there, and your immune system is going to help you to get over it if you catch it. And I thought, there's never a better time than to get fit right now. I was exercising pretty much twice a day. I was doing my 1 hour exercise a day, because I was like, use it or lose it. I was using my 1 hour exercise a day. And I was doing weights in the morning and going out on my bike for an hour in the afternoon, or sometimes reverse, right? I was exercising for like an hour and a half a day. And I hadn't done exercise like that. You know, I did it maybe once or twice a week for years in the, years gone by. So I started doing the hour and the half hour and that, and I'm getting into a routine. And all of a sudden, I'm hitting like massive life goals, right? Because I decided to like, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I thought, there's a pandemic on. But this is the time to help other people. It's the time to get into shape and all of that. So I'm basically helping people. I'm caring. I'm sharing stuff. I'm saying, if anyone wants any free marketing, you know, businesses are going to struggle, hit me up. And I'm just trying to help people as best as possible. I'm exercising every day. I pick up most of my money business networking, and the networking's all died down. So I'm a bit strapped for cash. I'm like, well, just go on a health food kick. And now and then, all the expensive stuff is all the unhealthy stuff anyway. So I was like, none of the unhealthy stuff. Eat your 3 square meals a day, you know, get rid of, you know, sugar, salt, white flour. I changed all my white bread and pasta for brown. Got rid of sugar and salt. I don't have nicotine, but I stopped all the alcohol. I didn't have the cash to do it. I cut back, right, yeah? And so I'm living this life of exercising, my 3 meals a day, no crap, yeah? I found meditation because a friend, I started networking. I love networking. And I'm going from networking once or twice a week in the real world to like 10 times a week online, because you can get it done efficiently. I'm living my best life. I'm getting into full flow. I'm exercising. I'm doing massive action. I'm doing lots of things of kindness for people and all of this sort of stuff. And then I get onto a mastermind with Jarek Robbins, and he's talking about the steps of happiness. And he had like a 4 or 5 steps or something like that. I can't remember now at the time, but it really resonated with me. In fact, it was the best talk I've ever heard. And I've listened to, you know, Les Brown and Brian Tracy and John DeMartini and Alan Lecter and, you know, Grant Cardone and Gary Vee. And, you know, these are some of the people I look up to and listen to. And actually, I've never really listened to Tony Robbins much, but I have started to a bit more recently. But I tell you who I have listened to a lot more is Jim Rohn, and I love Jim and that. And obviously, you know, Tony is a lot of the information passed down. So I'm listening to this formula, and it's really resonating with me. And it's like, this is the best thing I've ever learned, like, you know. And I thought, I'm actually living this right now. I'm the happiest I've ever been. I've been so happy during 2020 and 2021. I'm just like, I'm actually living the secret to happiness, like, you know. So I'm like, I've got to write this down. I've got to share this with other people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't be selfish and consume this myself. I've got to give it to others. I actually wrote down all of the component parts of what I was doing, and I turned it into a formula for happiness, right? And I called it SMART, right? So it's the SMART happiness formula. I just want your feedback on it, right? So the SMART stands for sleep, which is 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night, which is, I've always had that, and it's always important. You've got to recharge the battery, right? That's why Clubhouse is killing me a bit at the moment, because it's fighting my inner demon. Because I love it, but I want to get my sleep. I know it's important, and I can sacrifice sleep for a short period of time, but I can't sacrifice it for a long period of time. You know, with the bombs that are happening at the moment and the sprint that's going on, I can give up a couple of hours of rest in my life, but I can't do it long term, right? Brilliant, nice.
Wife is stepping out, so just saying goodnight.
No problem at all. And so that's the sleep bit, right? And then I discovered meditation for the first time in my life. But I've always done a bit of mindfulness. I was getting out on my bike for an hour at a time, riding around Cardiff Bay, which is beautiful. And it was sunny, which is never happens in Wales. But because of lockdown, sod's law, it got better and the weather got nice. So I'm riding around in the sunshine, which I'm a sun worshipper. And I'm getting my mindfulness in all the time. But then I discovered meditation, right? And then I discovered that actually, if you get 30 minutes of mindfulness or meditation per day, it makes you feel much better, much happier, right? It declutters your mind and your brain. So the M is for meditation or mindfulness. And then I had exercise, nutrition, and hydration, right? Which I was doing all of those, right? And then I was doing lots of random acts of kindness because of the situation. And I just always have been kind anyway, and I like helping people. And then I was actually setting much more daily routines of targets and goals. I was getting like creating massive action and getting it all achieved, right? And I've always been goal orientated, right? But also, I was getting such high energy in that. I was ticking off massive goals, our life goals. I'm just starting to do now. So I wrote a book in one day, right? I wrote a book in one day, a life story. Always wanted.
Wow.
I always wanted to write a book, right? And the reason I wrote it in one day is because I listened to Grant Cardone say once, and he wrote a book in one day. And I've actually listened and learned from Grant Cardone a lot, right? He's one of the people I listen to. And I thought, if Grant can write a book in a day, I can write a book in a day. So I did. I proved it to myself, right? And I'm ticking off all of these bombs and everything, right? So I'm thinking, goals are massively important. I've got health and well-being. I've got meditation and sleep. I thought, I've got all of these letters in a thing, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to come up with an acronym for this formula of what I'm living. And then I couldn't make all the letters and all the words work. So I sat there puzzling over a couple of days trying to make this Rubik's Cube fit. And eventually it came to me, the exercise, the nutrition and the hydration were all looking after my ability to perform. The sleep and the meditation and the A for ability to perform, along with the kindness, which turns to random acts of kindness, and along with the goals, which turns to targets. And all of a sudden, I've discovered SMART acronym. Yeah. So now I'm teaching people the SMART happiness formula. And it's basically something which I know works because it's worked for me and was created during lockdown as my life mission to teach other people how to be happy. I want to spread happiness around the world. I'm not going to charge a penny for it. Just my gift to the world in helping people to overcome, you know, any obstacles they've got in their life, stop them from happiness. And I believe everyone deserves to be happy. And so many people don't choose happiness. So I'm going to actually, although happiness is a choice, I'm going to cajole them and bolt them into happiness, getting them to follow a formula which works, which is proven. So that's sort of how that happened, right? But I'm going through this sort of brain process and stuff coming out to me, which I wrote 7 poems in 7 days. And I haven't written poems since I was like 11, right? So there was just stuff because of the high I was on and the energy and all the rest of it. Stuff was coming out of me that just hasn't come out since. I don't know what happened. I was just being used as a vehicle for producing this stuff, right? And then, for me, I started contemplating, well, what makes me happy, right? So I got the happiness formula, and I'm like, well, what else makes me happy? And I'm like, well, success. Success makes me happy. I've been a goal-orientated achiever all my life, so success makes me happy. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, well, what's the secret to success? I've been pretty successful all my life, right? I haven't been, you know, a high-flyer billionaire in that, but I've always lived my life on my terms, and I've done things my way. Which is my answer to success, right? So I thought, well, what are the key components to success? And I wrote all of them down. And literally, out of all of those words come the word streams, right? So all of a sudden, I got the streams success formula, okay? That stands for sleep, systems, technology, relationships, efficiency, action, marketing, and sales. They're the things that if you can do all of those things all through your life, keep growing them, you will become more successful because they all help you towards that level of success because they're all the component parts you need, right? So I come up with this streams formula, and then I thought, well, if people want to be successful, they can follow the streams formula, but it's just, you know, systems, technology, relationships, efficiency, action, marketing, and sales. It's not actually looking after them as the vehicle is going to do all of the work in all of those areas to build that success. So I was like, well, if you put the SMART formula of happiness, which is not exercise and nutrition and hydration and meditation and all of that looking after yourself, if you put that in with the streams formula, you've got SMART streams. And then you've got what I consider to be an elite business performance formula, because you've got all of the elements of success. You've also got all of the elements of keeping yourself happy while you're going through that success, actually keeping you fit and giving you longevity to be able to pull success off for a lifetime and not have it abruptly ended because you had success, but it got pulled away from you because you were unhealthy or unfit or your mind couldn't cope with it. Yeah? So literally, I've got smart streams, and my definition of an elite business performance is when you get put into full flow, and smart streams will put you into full flow. And that's what I created during the beginning of lockdown. And I don't know how, and I don't know why, and it just came out of me. But this is where I want to go on global stages around the world and educate other people on how to make themselves happy, and how to get more success in their life.
Amazing, dude. Amazing. Amazing. Listen, you know, you just tapped into, just like I did that one day when I was thinking about God said grow and I said no. And that's happened to me multiple times with different things, different ideas, but because I tapped into something that I don't even know what it was or how it was. But when you wrote your book in a day and you wrote 7 poems in a week where it's not something that you normally do, you were just, for whatever reason, open at that point. That was maybe the brick, right? Or maybe that was just a feather and you just paid attention. Mm. And so that's what that is, man. Listen, I think that the messages, I think that everything that everything we need is already within us, right? Tony Robbins says it all the time. All I need is within me now. Everything you need is already within you now.
Yeah.
Right. You're like the perfect, we're all like the perfect machine. We're the perfect computer, except sometimes we need to input new programs so that we can access new hardware, perhaps, or so that we have to input information to get access to new programs, to get access to new realms of our mind and our brain and our heart. And that's how we're growing. That's why if you're not growing, you're dying. And by growing, sometimes it's just by opening your heart a little bit more, you grow. By opening your mind a little bit more, you grow. By expanding your mind, you grow. By expanding your knowledge, you grow. By sharing, you grow. By sharing your heart, sharing your knowledge, sharing your time, you grow. And I think that every time you do that random act of kindness, every time you help someone else, every time you do the right thing, you get access to another level of you. You get access to another program, another system. You hit another level of excellence or another level of where you go, because you know what? Life is like a video game, in my opinion. And I had this talk about crazy, thoughts. I woke up maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and at 3 in the morning. And I just had a thought, life's like a video game. And now I'm not asleep, I'm not awake, I'm trying to go back to sleep. And I see myself playing a video game like I'm a kid. And it's, and going up against the bosses at the end of the levels and going to the next level. And this is what's going on in my mind. I'm like, why am I thinking of video games? I know my kids are always playing, but I play sometimes, but I haven't played, hardcore video games since I was in my 20s.
Like Dungeons and Dragons Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, I mean, all kinds of stuff. I play with my nephew, Crash Bandicoot, and all kinds of like crazy games on PlayStation and Medal of Honor and all kinds of stuff.
Mario,
but it's been years since I played.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But it's been years since I played. So I'm thinking this. And then I wake up and I don't usually remember my dreams. And that was kind of an awake dream. It was weird. And I started thinking, I'm like, what the hell does that mean? And I started thinking, I'm like, well, life is like playing a video game. When you first grab a new game and you've never played before, you don't even know how to use the controls. And you fumble your way through and all of a sudden, hey, look, I can make him go up and down and jump. Oh, this is how you grab the gun, or this is how you sight in, or this is how you grab, or this, or here's how you beat your opponent. And you finally go and you learn, but you're getting your ass handed to you. You're having to have new lives all the time. And this happens for days and days until you finally get to the level that you're about to go to the next level. Yes. But then there's this big freaking hairy boss that you've got to get through. And he just kicks your ass for the next 2 days until you figure out how to beat him. And now you beat him. And you're like, yes, you're on to the next level. And the next level is kind of like the first level, but it's a little harder. But the graphics are better and there's other cool stuff that you're coming across. But it's harder to get through those levels. But you do. And just when your confidence is good, like, man, I'm killing this. Woo, here comes that old boss. And you're like, I know how to beat his ass. You go around him. You already know what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, how that bank is going to react, how that customer is going to kick back, and how that person is going to do this, right? I'm sorry, did I say bank? No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean bank or customer or business. I meant the monster, the problem, the challenge that comes up. And you beat his ass because you've been there before. You already know the road ahead. But you keep going. You're like, oh, you're invincible. And all of a sudden, you get to the end of that level. And here's another bigger, badder monster that's going to kick your ass until you figure out how to beat him and get around him. And then finally you do. And you're on to the next level of the game. And here comes that first monster. No big deal. Like, ah, you little bitch, get out of here. And you just beat his ass. No problem. You keep playing. You're getting better. Your confidence is building. Here comes the monster from the last episode, from the last level. You're like, I can beat your ass too. And you do it until you get to the next monster. So you just beat, now you beat the other monster, which is the competition. You beat the monster, which is, you know, a failed marriage. You beat the monster of alcoholism. You beat his ass. But now you get to the next level. And then when that monster comes around again, you can beat his ass too. So life, my friends, is like a video game. And every day is another level. But you can't get to the next level of your life. Yes, you'll get older, but you won't get to the next level of your life and of your business until you beat the goddamn monster in front of you. Right? Yeah. So you got to get through those monsters. The great thing is when you get through that monster, when you get through that bankruptcy, when you get through that financial difficulty, when you get through that alcoholic father or mother or whatever story, whatever monster that was, when you come across that next monster, you already recognize him. You can at least sidestep him. You don't have to engage him. And if you do have to engage him, you're stronger now than you were before. Maybe you will just beat his ass. But life is going to happen. By the way, I'm developing this as I'm speaking this to you because I've never shared this in this way, by the way, Mike, just so you know.
It resonates so much with me because I used to play a lot of games when I was a kid and I was obsessed with getting up the levels until you got to the top and completed it.
I know.
And then I wouldn't touch it again.
But how difficult. but is that not the case when, you know, you're coming across the monsters from the last level, you're like, whatever.
Yeah, no problem.
Right? So that's life, brother. And you know, those monsters, those bosses at the end of those levels are the big challenges that happen in life. Mm-hmm. But you can't focus on that monster. And if you decide to say, fuck, I can't beat that monster. No. I can't. The monster's too big. I'm never going to get to that level. I just keep playing this level.
Yeah, that's what most
and that brings me. Life, yeah, that brings me to the point.
They get stuck at the level.
Yeah, that's right. And that's where that saying comes in. At least now I have a new interpretation of that. Most people die at 25 and only get buried at 75 or 80 because they got stuck on that level. They refuse to face the monster. So they just live that level and play that level and even go back and play the other level before and beat that monster to say, look, I slayed that monster. Big deal. He's not that big a deal anymore.
No,
you want to get to the next level. You want to get to the next level in life and business and happiness. You got to go forward and beat the next goddamn monster.
I used to leave my Nintendo on while I went to school and come back so I'd be at the same level so I could keep beating it, because if you turned it off, you have to start all again from scratch. I was not obsessed with beating the monster, like, you know, just gotta beat the monster.
That's the genesis, by the way. This is now the genesis and the creation of this story, and I think I'm going to perfect that because I've not heard that in that way before, and this is just a thought that came to me.
It's a great analogy. It's a great metaphor, and it works really. A lot of the kids who are going to be getting into these problems down the line, it's going to resonate with them because it's about computer gaming. So you'll have their attention straight away, and they understand completely about the big bosses. Yeah. You know, they'll get.
So listen, this is the way my mind works. This is the life that I'm choosing. I'm still in business. I've got different businesses. I'm actually about to get into another one. But my passion is Get Up and Grow, helping people grow through what they go through. It's speaking on stages. It's sharing the stages. And I believe that I'm here. I didn't die on my 18th birthday because I'm here for a purpose. And everyone that's listening to this, if there's a heart beating in your chest, put your hand on your chest right now and feel your heartbeat. That's purpose. You're alive for a reason. And the purpose of life is to find your gift and then give it away. The greatest gift you've ever been given is the gift of potential. And the greatest gift you can ever give back to your creator is to tap into that gift. Learn it, master it, and then use it to help others. So that's my gift, and that's what I'm looking to do. I'm looking to change the world, one stage, one group, one person at a time.
Well, I can help you with that as well, because I actually I work with a company called Intrabiz. They're a global network and events company, and they actually have summits with Les Brown, Sharon Lecter, you know, all the names. The only people we haven't got had on, really. They keep trying to get Richard Branson. We've had Lord Sugar. We've had Grant Cardone. We haven't had Gary Vee. And we haven't had Tony Robbins. We've been trying to get Tony for a while. But he's got some...
Well, if you don't get that, Tony, you can get this one.
Well, exactly. You know, the original TR, or the OG TR. At the end of the day, it's the same techniques. It's the same information. You know, it's secondhand. You know, in fact, we've had Jarek Roberts a couple of times, and obviously, Jarek likes to, you know, do his own thing, a bit different than his dad, and all the rest of that. But you know, it's still the genes are very similar. The information is similar because it's been absorbed over a long period of time, etc. But
it's just being shared in a different way. The one thing I love about Tony Robbins is he is one of the best delivery systems of information that I have ever seen. And a lot of the stuff that he's come up with or changed and come up with different things. There is some IP and a lot of his content is his, but certainly shares a lot of Jim Rohn stuff and a lot of, you know, Esther Hicks and Marianne Williamson and, you know, Les Brown and all the greats. I mean, listen, we're all learning. Like right now, what I'm saying, yeah, the stories that I've told you are mine and they're personal. So I've weaved it into it. But at the end of the day, the goal is the same. The lessons are the same. It's how you're interpreting them and how you're receiving them from the person that's delivering them. Yeah. Right. So listen, brother, you're a game changer. You're out there. You are going to change the world. One stage, one group, one person at a time. And so am I. And I encourage everyone that's listening to share your story, to go out and make a difference, because we can all make a difference. It doesn't take much. Go out and share, give of yourself. Because, you know, there's really only two things you can give away and still keep. So I encourage everyone to give that away. It's your knowledge and your smile. You can give away your knowledge and still keep it. You can give away your smile and still keep it. But if you share those two things, you can change the world.
Yeah, definitely. That's deep. That's heavy, but so right. And ultimately, you know, that's what people got to do. They got to learn to serve others and help them with their knowledge and their smile. Like you say, you know, the smile is a big part of the happiness, and the knowledge that I have is a big part of helping people with their success. So that's my mission. And if I can get you on some stages in the UK, or on Zoom or whatever, you know, because we do real world events, but obviously it's pivoted to online at the moment. So if you want to come along, and I'm sure Tracy would be, you know, over the moon to have you, because she's very similar to me, the founder of the business. She, you know, she reads a lot of books, and you know, she's constantly learning. I listened to audio books while I was exercising twice a day. You know, so I was you know, getting information in constantly. You know, I listen to, you know, Brian Tracy's. I'm a big fan of Brian Tracy. I love I'm sales, you know, so psychology of sales, the psychology of success, psychology of millionaire, eat the frog. You know, I've listened to so much of you know, obviously Rich Dad Poor Dad.
There's so much magic. Listen, we can talk for hours, but I don't want to do that to you, because I know that you're going to have to edit. Well, whatever, you're gonna be putting this out however it is, but you don't want to keep it going that long. But listen, what I want to encourage you to do, and actually share this with Tracy, you can share my Instagram handle, which is Tony Rodriguez with an S, Tony Rodriguez 2.0. Or certainly if you follow me on Facebook, you can go to Get Up and Grow, just not written out, just Get Up, the letter N, Grow with Tony Rodriguez, and have her just go there and watch some of the videos. I committed to doing a video a day last year. So I did 366 days of video, all inspirational videos, all some original content, some just sharing some nuggets of wisdom that I've picked up along the way. And I honestly haven't stopped doing those videos. So today's going to be, I guess, whatever that's going to be, 381 days of straight videos every single day. Not to mention the ones I've done before that. So, but share those with Tracy, and Yeah. And I'm sure that she'll understand who I am and what I'm doing.
She loves what you're doing. And she's a big Anil has spoken at our events a number of times. Anil have. She's been to Necker Island with Anil as well. We'll get you and Anil to do something similar to that room last night, and that'll be awesome. Get people up and put them through a clinic or something. To do something a bit different.
It'd be awesome. Yes, and now Anil and I have been friends for years, and he's honestly, I do say he's like a brother from another mother, and I don't say that lightly. I mean that because it's funny as hell. Whenever we get together, he's been to my house several times and stayed over. Yeah. I've been to his and stayed over several times. Because he lives in Florida, I live in New Jersey, and he's an amazing, unbelievable person. We've coached each other, and it's just a great time. So listen, share that with Tracy, and I'm hoping that have your listeners go and check out my things as well. I'll send you the link so you can add to
I'll pop
to
it in the descriptions, and I do a lot of social media. I do a lot of social media marketing where I'll share around your links and stuff like that as well. Will you do me a favor as well and maybe stick the podcast link and the YouTube link maybe into your group or something like that so people in there can have a bit of your content too?
Brother, of course, listen, share whatever you want with me and I will share it to my groups wherever I'm allowed. Like, obviously I'll share it on my groups, and if I'm allowed to share it on someone else's, I'd be happy to do it. And look, I could always use a little help with social media. So
I'm a social media wizard, right? So in your own time, have a look, check out hashtag Mike Armstrong and have a look at the pages and pages and pages of content that I own in the internet that I've spread across the web because I know what I'm doing, right?
Amazing. Well, listen, we're gonna have to have a side conversation on that because I need a little bit more help. I'm on there, but I've people keep saying, why the hell are your pages so small? I said, I don't know. I'm just not, I'm not the genius. That's not my zone of genius.
My zone of genius is
communicating with people and helping people grow through what they go through. So
you put so much content and value in that I'd like to help you spread it. So anything that you're ever doing, tag me in and I'll share it in whatever ways I can as well.
Awesome, brother. Listen, I appreciate it. I don't know if we're connected on Facebook yet, but certainly on my personal page. I have to go in and clean it up.
I've joined the group. I don't know if I've been accepted or not, but I went to join the group. And also, we're connected on Insta anyway. But let's connect on LinkedIn as well, because I use LinkedIn quite a lot.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're doing. And I appreciate how you're showing up in the world. And like I said, brother, I know you're going to be changing the world, one at a time. That's how we do it. And hopefully many at a time. Awesome. So thank you for the opportunity thank you for the opportunity to have me on your show. And the way I like to always exit my shows is just to remind everyone that life is not about how many times you fall. It's not about how many mistakes you've made in the past, how many times you've maybe done the wrong thing. It's about getting up after every fall. So if you fall down 7 times, you get up 8. And every single time you fall, you learn. And every single time you get up, you grow. And every single time you fall, you have the opportunity to get up and grow. Grow we shall, and grow we will. So thanks, brother. I appreciate you having
Brilliant.
Me on.
Well, thanks for coming on. It's been awesome. And I look forward to sharing some more rooms with you on the clubhouse. But just thanks very much for coming on and have yourself a great day.
My pleasure, brother. I'll see you on the clubhouse.
All the best. Bye-bye.